You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mootsie. Alongside me is always the three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. Mr. Armstrong, how you feeling? It was a wild night around the NBA.
I just want you to replay my clip from yesterday. What I said about Mr. Wembanyama. I just want you to replay
that. So Wemby's going to do something crazy. You did call the quadruple-double. He didn't quite get there, but what he did do was 59, 14, 7, 2, and 3.
You know,
insane performance. Before we get into that, let me just give you guys, if you missed any of the games last night, an overview. Sorry, I just read out Giannis's stat line. That was awful.
That was Giannis's stat line. Well, you know, those are my two favorite players. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Wemby himself had 50 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 blocks. LeBron had 35, 12, and 14. Karl-Anthony Towns had 46, 10, and 3 steals. Jordan Poole had 42, 6 assists, and 2 steals. Jason Tatum had 36, 8, and 10. Kay Cunningham had 35, 7, and 11. Jared McCain had 34, and 10. J-Dub had 31, 6, 7, and 4. And Zach LaVine had 31, 7, and 8. So it was a high-scoring night for a bunch of players around the NBA. But seeing as we're here with Mr. BJ Armstrong, he's going to want to start by talking about Mr. Wembanyama.
Yeah, and let's do that. Let's do that, Mo. That'd be a good start. That would be a good start. You know, that would be...
It was a matchup of the young French talent with Bilal Coulibaly and Alex Sarr for the Washington Wizards, having kind of subpar performances and Wembanyama stealing the show with 50 points. But the scariest part about that 50-point performance is he got to like 43 points in just 23 minutes. It was ridiculous. You know, and here's the thing. I've criticized Wembanyama. A lot of people criticize him because he takes a lot of threes now, and he's very, very tall. And seeing a player that tall when he's playing badly, taking a lot of threes, doesn't look great. But when he's knocking him down, as he went 8 of 16 last night, it looks fantastic. Less than a week ago, Wembanyama was shooting 23% on threes this season. Since then, he's gone 20 out of 36. Since an anonymous scout said that he's not an offensive threat, he's putting up 36 points a game, 12 rebounds a game on 59, 54, and 77 splits. That's good for 75% true shooting. As I know, BJ, you love the true shooting stat.
Right. Right.
But it's simply insane performance. And should I tell you the thing that jumped out to me about this?
Please.
All of those threes that he took, I think all 8, I would say at least 7, were not from the three-point line. They were from at least a step or two behind the three-point line, which is, you know, for a player of his height, astounding. But do you think it's time we move the three-point line back a little bit?
To do what?
To make it a little bit more difficult for the rest of the league as well to catch up.
What are we trying to accomplish here? Are we trying to improve the game, or we just want to see a three-point shooting contest?
Well, it would encourage less threes because most players can't shoot like Wemby. So it'd be like Wemby and Steph and Dame would be okay with the line moving back. But there would be some guys in the league who wouldn't quite be as efficient from three, so they would have to find other ways to score. Creates more space in the mid-range.
You know, one day we should have a podcast.
We have one.
Dedicated totally to how to improve the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's a you know, because once you begin to tinker with, you know, the three-point line, you have to also take into consideration what that would do to the rest of the game and what that will look like. And visually, because you and I and our audience knows that television is a large component to the business of the sport. So tinkering with the line, I would rather tinker with the instructors, the teachers of the game, the gatekeepers, to make sure that the game is holistic, right? That's why we love the playoffs. That's why we put so much value at that juncture during the season, because the game always reverts back to what it truly is. So anything that gets the game back to the essence of it, I'm for. Saying I want to see someone shoot further away, I'm not sure about that,
I want to see people shoot from further away. I want to see the elite shooters shooting and the other players not just camped out in the corner or on the hash waiting for a catch and shoot.
But let's do that. Let's maybe give the people a little segment, 15 minutes, 20 minutes of what we truly think, because that's a big question. You know, you're talking about not just in the NBA, you're talking about globally. It's a global game now. It's truly a global game. It's a global, you know, everyone has their different style and what they contribute. You know, the Europeans play a certain way, Americans play a certain way, people from South America, Central America play a certain way. So I think it's a discussion that we should probably have.
Absolutely, absolutely. But what else did you see from Mr. Wemby last night?
Well, you know, I didn't see a lot of him because he only played 32 minutes.
Insane.
You know,
Insane.
but what you can see is that, you know, the one thing that, you know, I think we talked about it earlier in the week was it's gonna it I think preseason should be at least 10 games. I think the preseason should be 10 games, and here's why. Here's why. Because it takes about 10 to 15 games to kind of get used to the game itself, to
Yeah.
build up that type of endurance. Okay.
But from speaking to players around the league, most players who are, I would say, starting caliber players or above, so star players, they don't care about preseason. And when you watch preseason games, it's mainly the rookies or the guys on two-way contracts who want to earn minutes or a roster spot. That's what the preseason games are used for most of the time now.
Okay, that's fine. However, we have a problem now. Look at the injuries
Yeah.
that we see around the
So
league.
you want to add
So
more games to the schedule?
I want to get these guys in the proper conditioning so that they're able to play during the regular season. Okay? I'm not asking them to play 30 minutes in a preseason game.
What if they play
I'm
for the
asking the
Knicks?
well, that's but what I am asking is we're going to play. I mean, it's a very simple formula. Mo wants to be in great shape. Of course, he's not going to be in great shape on day one, but we're going to build so that by the end of the month, he will be somewhere, he will see some progress.
Okay.
So if we have 10 games, we can begin to build the players that we are calculating and saying, hey, we want this player to be able to play 32 minutes a night. Why not use those 10 games to build that player to be able to do that? Other than saying, well, you're not going to play in the preseason. Day one starts. Now you're going to play the guy 35 minutes, and he hasn't played at all in the preseason. Now, explain that to me. Make that math to me. We didn't give him, we haven't trained, we haven't played, and we just throw him out there and say, good luck. Well, that doesn't make sense to me. So I think if we can build these players to be able to play, knowing that we want them to play 30 minutes a night, we need our best players to play at a minimum 32 to 35 minutes. That's what a starter plays in this league. But why aren't we conditioning our players to be able to withstand and handle that?
Okay, so you're saying it's taken Wemby the first kind of 10 games to warm up to this point where he is now.
I don't even know. He didn't play a lot in the preseason. I thought that's odd. Like he's a young player. Like get him used to this so that he'll be ready. So now what they're about 12, 13, or I don't know, let's say 15 games into the season now. Well, it's taken him about that much time to get into the conditioning to be able to do it. So
But
it
by
makes
that
sense to
logic,
me.
are we now expecting this to be the standard of Wembanyama, not just an outlier
What I'm
great night?
expecting, what I'm expecting. What I'm expecting from a great player is the following. Here's the formula. You will never see a great player who's not in great condition. You will never see a great player who is not in great condition.
Sorry, guys, I have to break it to you. I will not be a great player.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. Have we seen great talent? Yes, we see great talent. Guy had a great quarter. If you're a great player, your conditioning is elite. Okay, let's just look at him. LeBron James, Steph Curry.
LeBron James, LeBron James, at the age of 4,000,002 in his 876,000th NBA season, is second in the NBA in triple doubles, leading the Lakers with 9.4 assists. He's second in minutes and rebounding, shooting a career high 46% from three, and is one of three players to be averaging 28 and 8.
They go hand in hand. So as Wembanyama gets in better conditioning, his play will get better and better. Why? He has a talent. This isn't a talent issue. So the great players are always in the best conditioning. You know, you saw it in The Last Dance. You saw it with Larry Bird. You've seen it through every generation. You saw it with the late Kobe Bryant. Jokic, when Jokic got in that level of conditioning, guess what happened? It just they go hand in hand. So why are we trying to avoid what we know is necessary to be great? Mo, if you get tired in the fourth quarter and I'm still fresh, guess who's going to win the game? Now, if you can figure out how to get around it and win, I'm open for business. I've just never seen it before. The best players, that's what they do.
It was pretty cool that Tim Duncan was at Spurs practice yesterday before they went out and played. But speaking of great players in great condition, we do have to talk about the thriller between your Detroit Pistons
How about that?
and the Milwaukee Bucks. Another
How about
game in which the Pistons had the chance to win with a sideline out of bounds lob play being drawn up. I thought it was really funny that they won against the Heat with a alley-oop out of bounds with 1 second left on the clock. And against the Bucks last night, it was 111, 111. They had a sideline out of bounds with 0.9 on the clock. So you knew they were going to throw a lob. The assistant coach for the Bucks is on the sideline with his laptop showing the team the play that the Pistons ran against the Heat last night. I wanted to get your take on this, BJ, because logically, why are you expecting the Pistons to run the exact same play? Do you think that JB's only got one lob play in his playbook? And the question is, would you not have watched that play before the game when you're going through film? And is it not too last minute to be showing them that on the sidelines? And then you're showing them that on the sidelines, but if they come out and run something else, then you're not going to be prepared for something else. Do you see what I'm saying here? How would you have handled that situation if you're the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks?
Okay, well, in looking at the play, they were this was the score. No, they were down. No, the
It
score
was
was
111,
tied.
111.
11, yeah, the score was tied. So technically, the inbound passer has four options. The option that you're least expecting is a lob pass.
Even though you
That's
saw them
the,
do it the night before.
yeah, but.
But that's the safest option
Okay,
in a way. In terms of field goal percentage, that's the highest field goal percentage you can get out of that.
the analytics tell me that I have the best athlete on the floor, which is Giannis. That's what my no, I shouldn't say the analytics. My eye test tells me I have
There
the
we
best
go. There we
athlete.
go.
My also tells me that I have the biggest player on the floor, Brooke Lopez.
I think did they take him out of the game for that final possession so that
Maybe
they could be
not.
switchable?
Maybe not. However, this is what's amazing to me. Okay. Out of all of these plays, it's not the lob. This is coaching 101 to me. Okay. And I always go back to the fundamentals of the game. When you have an out of bounds play, you want to have obstruction to the inbounds, to the
Yeah,
inbound.
that's why I was saying yesterday they didn't deny the entry pass or the inbound pass.
I don't know if you're supposed to deny it. I would put my biggest player, which would be Brook Lopez,
That is trying to deny it. Do
okay,
you remember when the
just
Celtics used to sub in Taco Fall just to
yes,
stand in front of the
stand in
inbounder
front of
in the final play of the
yes.
game?
So you want to have obstruction where they can't even if the inbound, even if the play is designed to be a lob,
Yeah,
you
you don't
have
want to give them the
obstruction
passing angles. And by the way,
because
one of the greatest inbound passes I've ever seen was Jason Kidd when Yao Ming was standing in front of him trying to
yeah.
block out the inbound pass.
Exactly.
Search that on
That's what I'm
YouTube if
saying.
you've not seen it.
So traditionally, your best passer is going to be the inbounder in that possession. I just don't understand. I don't understand the principles of how we're defending today in today's game. Like, if a guy makes a great pass, which these players are capable of doing, hey, so be it. Jason Kidd, the play you mentioned, I remember that play. Jason Kidd just made an incredible play. He passed it over Yao Ming. Guy makes that pass and it works. So be it. Great pass. It's a one in a million chances that that happens. It happened. Okay, I can live with that. What I can't live with is why do we not have Brook Lopez standing on the ball in that possession? Why is Giannis chasing on the perimeter in that possession? I don't understand. I just don't understand. But again, maybe it was a play. I'm not, I looked at the play a couple times, a couple times on the replay. Didn't seem anything out of
Oh,
the
a couple
ordinary.
times. We spent about 20 minutes watching that replay. There
Yeah,
was
well, I
definitely
mean,
not a
yesterday.
foul. Ron Hollins went up for the lob. Giannis got all ball. There was not a foul there. And the Rasheed Wallace must have been somewhere smiling because Ron Holland missing both those free throws was the epitome of ball don't lie. But I feel bad for the
Now,
kid, Ron
I felt
Holland,
bad. I
because
bet I felt bad for the kid. But I feel bad for the kid because you know
do you
what?
know when I felt bad for him? It's not when he missed the free throws. He's 19 years old. It's before he even took the free throws because you could see he was so nervous. His palms were so sweaty that he wiped his hands on his shorts. And they were still so sweaty, he tried to shake the sweat off them. And I was watching it, I was like, there's no way on earth he's going to make these free throws. But it's good character building, I guess. You know what I mean?
Well, if you can survive that, but great game. Pistons were right there. Giannis, I mean,
59, 14, 7, 2, and 3.
And but you know what else was incredible during that game?
Taurean Prince here in a clutch three.
No, that was great, but Brook Lopez had like 29.
He did indeed. 5 of 8
I
from
thought
downtown. 8 boards, three.
that's almost 90 points from your front court.
Okay,
I
but how about
thought,
this? How about this, BJ, from your front court? 5 steals and 8 blocks combined.
that's what I'm
Brook
saying.
Lopez had
Like,
3 steals and 5 blocks.
you get what
The
is
age
that?
of 400.
That's 88 points. You get 88 points from your front court. I mean, I was looking at the game going, has anyone ever done that? What's the most points ever from your front court?
Wilt Chamberlain, 100 points. Duh. Duh.
No, I'm talking about combined. You know, I'm talking
Yeah,
about,
Wilt
okay.
Chamberlain plus the other guy probably didn't touch the ball, 100
I
points.
know that's pretty funny. That is funny. But that is an amazing. I mean, Giannis was incredible. Brooke was incredible. And it was a really good game. Really good game.
Absolutely. It was a thrilling game, which is interesting. Because if you told anyone before the season started that the Detroit Pistons would be taking the Milwaukee Bucks overtime, they would have thought you were crazy. But the Pistons have been on an interesting run recently, because they lost that overtime thriller against the Bucks. Night before, they won the overtime thriller against the Heat. Before that, they lost to the Rockets by 2 points. Before that, they beat the Hawks by 1 point. Before that, they lost to the Hornets by 1 point. So all the games recently for the Pistons have been decided by a possession or less. And I think finally things might be trending in the right direction just a little bit.
But we'll see. It's a lot of season to play. But I love the progress that Coach Bickerstaff.
And it was with no Jaden Ivey last night.
I love the progress. And you're seeing Cade become a consistent 20-point scorer. You're seeing players step up. You know, Beasley, you know, Tim Hardaway, I know, is out. But you're seeing their veterans. You know, you're seeing their veterans pick up the play. And play, and they're competing. So I love the fact when you compete. Listen, you know, Giannis had a phenomenal game to beat them, right? I mean, that was just an incredible, incredible game. However, when you start seeing guys like Tobias Harris and these guys show up, you know, they're having 10 and 8, you know, and things like that, and you're just getting consistent play. That to me signifies that they're trending in the right direction and they're continuing to build on something because they are a young team. So hopefully this will continue, but right now they've put together in the first 10 or 12 games or so, you know, a good stretch where you're saying this team could be.
You know, one thing I wanted to go back and say that I forgot to mention during the Spurs. Thoughts and prayers to Greg Popovich, who suffered a mild stroke on November the 2nd. He's
Right.
expected to make a full recovery. A timeline for his return has not been determined, but prayers are with Coach Pop that he gets back healthy because, that's just very, very sad news.
Yes.
BJ, if I was to ask you the four youngest players to record 50 points in a game, Victor Wembanyama last night became the fourth youngest player. Could you tell me the three players ahead of him? And number one, I would be very shocked if you remember number one. Not because it was a long time ago, but because the name is not a player you would expect to see on this list.
LeBron is in there for sure.
Yep, LeBron is second with 56 against the Raptors when he was 20 years and 18 days old.
You know who's in the, you know who's in there, and because I was living in Chicago at the time, the kid played for Milwaukee, left-handed guard. I can see his name.
Go on.
I could see a
Go on,
left-handed
keep
guard
going, keep going.
from California. I can see it. Because I remember he did it with the Milwaukee Bucks. I was living in Chicago, and I remember.
Come on.
I can't think of his name.
The
I can't
name
think
is
of his
there.
name.
The name is there.
Yeah, I can see his face too. He does the podcast with Gilbert Arenas. You know who I'm
Brandon
talking about.
Jennings with
Brandon
55
Jenny.
against the Knicks when he was 20
Yeah,
years and
yeah,
52, the youngest player to ever
yeah.
score 50 in a game. That was in
Yeah, I can.
2009.
Yeah, Brent. I can recall that. I just remember. I remember something. I don't know if I was watching the game or I was, but I was in the area, and I remember. Oh wow, like that was pretty big. He was young when he did it. And he said it was four, right?
Yeah, so Brandon Jennings is one, LeBron James is
Let's
two.
just two.
Wembanyama is four. So who's third on the list at 20 years and 145 days old?
Let me see. I don't remember KD. I don't remember KD scoring. I don't remember KD. I don't know who's the fourth.
Devin
Who's the
Booker on his way to a fraudulent 70.
fourth? Oh yeah, DB. Yeah. Because he had like a 70-point game against your Celtics or
Yeah,
something.
but it wasn't a
Didn't
real 70-point game, that was it.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good list. But I remember Brandon Jennings though. Yeah, shout out to Brandon Jennings, man. I remember that. I could see his face. But yeah, I remember that.
So our continued series throughout the season, I'm now up 14-5 in terms of these predictions. We got all of them right. Well, I got all of them right, except for the Timberwolves yesterday. You weren't so fortunate. But tonight there is just one game.
Wait a minute, let me get that knife on my back. Okay, all right, go
Tonight
ahead.
there is just one game. The Dallas Mavericks and the Utah Jazz going head to head. Before I let you predict, here's the injury list because this is important. We do this now.
You know what? Well, you know, I was thinking that yesterday. I was like, I've never paid attention to the injury list
No, I
as
check it
much as
all
I'm
the
paying
time
attention.
now, and I have to check it like every hour until the game starts.
Yeah, I know it's nuts now, right?
So, Luka Doncic, Derek Lively and PJ Washington are all game time decisions, which
Luka
I'm
Doncic, PJ Washington,
Derek
and Derek
Lively, game
Lively.
time decisions. Dante Exum is out. Keyonte George is a game time decision for the Jazz. Walker Kessler, Jaden Preston are out. Taylor Hendricks out for season. Does this mean Isaiah Collier is going to be there?
Be there. What does that mean?
Playing on the court.
Yeah, he started the other night against the San Antonio Spurs, and they won.
I'm gonna keep it 100. I did not watch that
I know you did. I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's,
game.
yeah. You know what? He
Oh,
he's
his hamstring is better now.
yeah. He's
All right, I'm
back.
gonna tune
Yeah.
in.
Yes, please do. Yeah, please do. He's building his conditioning. He's building up, and he's having moments during the course of the game. So. He started the other night, and I'm just expecting him to have one of those games where he just,
Well, hopefully it's tonight because the Jazz are dead last in the West, 2-8, but the Mavericks are
Yes.
12th in the West at 5-6. So last year's Western Conference champions aren't even in the play-in picture through their first 11 games of this season.
Hey, you know what I did, Mo, the other day? I just looked at the, randomly, I was looking at the standings, and then I didn't realize that the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, after that, they lost like the first three games and then they've just been winning. They've won their last five.
I know. I just ran it. I was like, oh man, they're struggling. And all of a sudden they were like 7-3 or something. Or I was like,
Yeah.
what is going on here?
It's crazy because the Timberwolves and the Mavs are 11th and 12th. And those are the two
Yes.
teams everyone thought would be at the top with the Thunder, who are still number one.
That's right. As you are correct. So I just, give Jokic credit. He just keeps figuring it out, And I want to give a shout out here because we haven't, well, I'm big on winning. And if I can pivot here. The Cleveland Cavaliers, Mo. I'm not going to let this go by because we're always talking about the value of winning, or at least I am, and all of these things. The Cleveland Cavaliers, Mo, are not what, 13 and 0 now? Is that their record? 13 and 0, 12 and 0? They're 13 and 0
13 and
now.
0.
I want to give a shout out to this team and the style of play. And I want to give in particular, I watched them a little bit. They are one of the few teams, Mo, that shoots, they shoot a fair amount of threes, but they value ball movement and player movement.
Yeah, we talked about this. We talked
Yeah,
about
did we
this on the
talk about
show.
it?
Because
I
I was
kind of
saying Kenny
watched them.
Atkinson coming from Golden State, talking about how Draymond moves the ball so quick.
They are move they but they move around. They just don't do five out offense like most teams do. They like move. And they have five really good starters. They have a deep team. Mo, they've kind of caught my attention. If
They
they
have,
can,
but so far this season, they've had the fourth easiest schedule so far.
yeah, I don't know. What does that mean? Because every team I respect, what does that mean? Easiest schedule. How do you predict that?
Well, they rank all opponents that teams face by
Oh,
difficulty
okay.
using various stats, and like the Wizards have had the hardest schedule, but you have to factor in the Wizards stink, so every game's going to be a hard game for them. But yeah, that's one ranking. The other ranking looks at the remaining strength of schedule. Minnesota, who we just talked about being 11th in the West, have the easiest schedule remaining for the 68 games they have ahead of them. The toughest schedule ahead belongs to Orlando.
Okay.
And Cleveland have the fourth toughest schedule remaining ahead of them. The bad news is Milwaukee are also in the top 10 for the toughest schedule ahead of them. So we'll see.
We will see, but I just want to give a shout out to Cleveland. You know what? 13 and 0, that's impressive. And we'll see how it turns out, but I really like what they're doing right now. And how about let's talk about our Knicks?
I mean, first, I wanted you to predict who's going to win tonight between them. That's why we're talking about this whole thing, the Mavs and the
I'm going
Jazz.
Jazz. I'm going
You going
Jazz.
Jazz?
I'm going Jazz today. I'm going Jazz. I'm going Isaiah Collier has a double figure game. I'm going Jazz tonight.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I'm going to give BJ a chance to catch up with me, and I'm going to pick the Mavericks, not for any real reason, but we'll see if he can get a win on the board tonight. Let's
Not
hope your
for any
boy don't
real
let you
reason.
down.
How about I give you two reasons? Kyrie Irving and Luka
The Luka's game time decision.
Doncic.
Luka's game time
Hey,
decision.
well, until they say he's not playing, he's
I
out
was
there.
watching the broadcast the other day, and I heard Reggie Miller say, he's like, well, Dante Exum's still out, and he was a huge part of their team. I don't think they'll be the same until he gets back. And I'm watching it, and I'm thinking, what am I not seeing that you think Dante Exum's an integral part of winning the Western Conference and now you're 12th? But maybe that's just me. But you want to talk about the Knicks. Once again, another high-minute game for their players. And it came in a 1-point loss to the Chicago Bulls. Tough break.
Yes. Okay, a 1-point game. However, they were down 20 points during the course of this game. This is what I'm getting concerned about, Mo. You only have so many times you can, go to the well and dig out of a hole. When you start seeing good teams down 20 points at home. Okay? At home. It wasn't like on the road, long road trip. You're at home now on a back-to-back against a team you should beat, and it's a must game for you. And you get down that big, okay? That's energy. It's just the energy. Now, this team has a lot of pride, clearly. This team has a lot of grit, clearly. But Mo, right now you can see the depth is a big problem. It's a big problem for this group. I'm a little concerned now because Mo, it's early in the season and you're beginning to see things like this, okay? And listen, I'm just going to keep harping on this. Tom Thibodeau is a defensive coach. They gave up 124 points at home to the Chicago Bulls. Okay. Bo, I don't like what I'm seeing early in the season.
Five guys in double figures for the Bulls.
And now you're seeing guys on a back-to-back play close to and above 40 minutes, some of their starters.
Yep, Mikal Bridges, 43 minutes. Karl-Anthony Towns, 39 minutes. OG Anunoby, 36. Josh Hart, 34. Jalen Brunson, 35. And they only used four players off their bench.
I'm not liking this, Mo. I'm not liking
I hear
this.
it. I hear it.
So again, we'll see how this plays out. But Mo, when you start getting down big at home, it happens from time to time. But Mo, not in a game like this where, you know what, you got to win these games. These are the games that you have
Yeah,
to win.
I read a quote the other day. I think it was Greg Popovich. He says, in any 82 game season, there's going to be eight games where everything goes wrong for you and you
That's
lose.
correct. That's
There's eight
correct.
games where everything goes right for you and you win. It's what happens in those other 65, 70 games
There you go.
that's going to be who you truly are. And this felt like one of those other 65 games where you find out who you truly are.
That's exactly. Mo, you're Greg Popovich is right. There's some games, Mo, we had great practices, great preparation, and Mo, it just didn't go right. There's some games, Mo, guys are injured, everybody's got ice on before the game, bad warm-up, and Mo, we just came out and just played lights out. And you're like, man, I just got a second win out of nowhere. That's how it works. However, those 65 or so games, Mo, you better stick to your identity. And what's going to allow you to play consistent in those 65 games is your defense. Your defense better be able to contribute to your offense. And that is the core of who you are if you're going to be a good team or you're going to have any level of consistency. You know what? We all can't shoot the ball like a Steph Curry. Now he's an exception. There's always an exception to the rule. But that's why when you shoot well, Bo, it gives you a chance, right? It allows you, but you can't depend on that. So I agree with Coach Popovich and anyone that just sticks to their core because that's important if you're going to be a good team or have consistent results in this league.
Absolutely. Well, we stay consistent, so we'll be back tomorrow with another episode. But in the meantime, make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. And until next time, get buckets.